Flashback Twin Cities. Tom Osmond here on KLBB Club 1220. Joined today by my very special guest, Roy Finden. And Roy, I have to tell you, there's an ulterior motive why I brought you here today.
Oh, yes?
As a Brown Institute instructor. This is my turn to be rated and to be... I want to get some tips by the end of the show here today.
Oh,
because,
I didn't bring along paper and pencil, but...
Yeah, I'll just keep kind of slapping me during the show. No, Roy Finden, former KSDP, a lot of people know you as the KSDP weatherman.
That's true.
Also on CARE TV. And I'm sure many people had you as an instructor at Brown Institute.
That's true, too.
Some which are very famous, almost as famous as you.
Yes, okay.
And you also give capital tours at our state's capital.
It's true. It's a wonderful way to spend some extra time when I'm retired from the other day-to-day things. Leading a group of sixth graders through that remarkable building is just fun because they're awed by it, which is the whole point.
In a world of technology, it's good to be awed still by some by buildings and by art and
the language. The language changes. One year, the fifth graders would walk into the governor's reception room, and one of them would say, "Cool." And another year, they'd walk into the governor's reception room, and one would say, "Awesome." And a few years ago, we walked into the governor's reception room, and one of them exclaimed, "Dude."
Now, that was the sixth grader, not our governors, right? Because Governor Ventura might have, said some of those words, perhaps.
But it's a great pleasure. I just grab all of that energy from all of those youths, and it keeps me youthful-er.
I have to ask them, how many of them are texting while they're going to the tour?
No.
That's good.
Some will be taking a lot of pictures, but
okay.
I don't think texting.
That's great. And you've been doing this for quite a while, the capital tours.
It's been over 10 years now, someone said. So, yes.
And the building's being renovated as we speak. We're talking discussing that.
Yep.
And that should be a really nice place to go and visit. And now, if you're not a sixth grader, if you're an adult, you can go do this tour.
Yes, indeed. Correct? Yes, their tour is on the hour from 10 to 2. And... the difficult thing might be finding a place to park while the building is under construction and there are fences everywhere and limited access. But, we're staffed and ready to lead you around and show you the whole... Well, can't show you the whole thing because parts of the building are actually walled off while they're working on them.
That's great. And I want to, before we get going into our conversation today, which will have some fun today, I found, as I tend to do my archaeology all week when I'm not working at the mill downtown... But I found this promotion. This is from KMSP-TV.
Uh-huh.
The date was 1273. This was the date on the film. And I want to play this. Unfortunately, we can't see it on radio, but the audio will draw you in. Then you can go to tcmedianow.com or on tcmedianow Facebook page and watch it. So let's listen here.
Can two men turn a town on with their style? Can two men take a new show? Suddenly make it seem all worthwhile. News is all around and they can't take it. Guys this good don't have to fake it. They just might make it after all. They just might make it after all.
I find some of those fascinating documentaries. I find things that are very news orientated. Those never get as much hits as when I put up a wacky promotion like that. This got
wonderful.
About 2,000 views.
Just wonderful.
If you, just to give a little bit of a oral context here, they are doing the Mary Tyler Moore introduction, and if you've seen the show more than once, you understand Mary's walking to Minneapolis. They get it shot by shot here. This is like a Hollywood film. They did not miss a detail on this, from the escalator tour up the IDS tower to where they're walking. This was another... anchor team that Channel 9 had tried promote, Boyd and Bremen. And, it might not have lasted too long, but they tried everything they could do to get you to watch it, and even some maybe offbeat promotions.
Sure.
and we were talking a little bit off air, is, you know, you have these dual anchors, and they're spending a lot of time together. It's a marriage, arranged marriage in a way. You're on a desk with one person, having to smile and look at them, and then smile to the audience all day long. And they don't always work. And this one they tried, it didn't last too long, but the promotions live on forever.
I would say yes, they're wonderful. Yeah. So everyone that is listening, by all means, go to the website and view it. It's just a delight.
I mean, if you like news promotions and like Mary Tyler Moore, this is, again, I sometimes think that some of these, you know, Dave Moore documentaries will get a lot of hits online. People will watch it. No. 37 seconds of this promotion gets a lot of internet traction. Well, the election's over with, and I think those of us that watch a little bit of TV every day are relieved that we don't have to watch the but the political commercials, which you can watch 2 minutes, and it gets a little bit worse and worse. You go from about August, they start popping up, and then September, they get a little bad. And between that last, you know, week of October, it's wall-to-wall how, you know, so-and-so's terrible, and then they're terrible. I don't hear always a lot about why they're good, but you get a lot of negative ads. Years ago, 1982, you know, elections were decided on one day. We didn't have a lot of recounts, and, you know, the election was done, and there was not a lot of aftermath. I want to just play a little bit of audio here. This is from 1982, after the Al Quie, Rudy Perpich, which was not a rematch, because Al Quie did not run against Rudy Perpich the second time. But here's some post-election coverage in 1982.
Well, the governor-elect of Minnesota, Rudy Perpich, set up shop back at the state capitol today, and he got right down to business. In fact, his staff at the transition office is at work right at this instant. And to bring us up to date on what's happening, we're going to go live now to our government specialist, Lindsay Strand, at the state capitol. Lindsay?
Well, Stan, Rudy Perpich had promised he would waste no time in preparing to take over state government, and if today is any indication, he is going to live up to that promise. Since he entered the Capitol at 10 o'clock this morning, Perpich has been in numerous meetings, starting first with Governor Al Quie.
The newly elected governor was all smiles as he headed into his old office with Governor Al Quie. The two met privately for about an hour to discuss the transition, while across the hall the lieutenant governors were doing the same thing. Quie and Perpich emerged from their meeting to say the state's continuing money problems dominated the discussion. Quie said he expects a new revenue forecast due out in 2 weeks to contradict earlier predictions that the state's economy would start to improve toward the end of this year.
I don't see it out there. We don't have any figures on the projections at all, but I just want to say that I don't expect that the finances will hold up for the rest of this biennium as had been expected.
Quie said he won't call a special session if the budget needs balancing, but he may use his own authority to cut spending in certain areas, a decision Perpich seemed to support. Perpich said the gloomy predictions didn't surprise him. He said it was too early to say how he will handle any future deficits, but had this comment when asked how it felt to be inheriting the budget problems that have plagued the Quie administration.
We like Whitney shouldn't feel as bad today.
From there, it was down to his own temporary office.
And there you go. Everyone's all smiles after the election.
Interesting how long a story that was.
I know. That is about three times the length of the story today on TV news.
That's just one change, yes.
Let's take a quick break. We'll come back here, and I want to talk all about Roy after we come back here on KLBB Club 1220.
You want to get your shopping done quickly? Make a list of the people you would like to give to and also write down something they are interested in and take the list to Valley Bookseller and ask them to recommend books for each. The staff will amaze you with the choices you can make. They will even mail them for you. It's Christmas magic at Valley Bookseller. Call 651-430-3385. Great books, great people. 217 Main Street North in Stillwater.
Pain. It stops us from living the life we want to live. At Health Source of Stillwater, Dr. Matthew Feeblecorn not only wants to stop the pain, but find its true source. Headaches? The cause may be in the neck. Numbness in your feet? It may be due to sciatica from an old injury.
Hello, this is Dr. Matt with Health Source Chiropractic of Stillwater. We'll perform a thorough chiropractic consultation, talking about your health history, your health concerns, an exam, and if needed, x-rays.
Health Source of Stillwater. Do you Health Source?
You finally found it, that old photograph of your grandmother that you've always wanted to share with your grandchildren, but it's torn, cracked, and faded. Well, don't despair. Bring it in to Images of the Past in Stillwater. They specialize in restoring and preserving memories for future generations. So when you bring your old photos to Images of the Past, you can share that beautiful photograph with your grandchildren. You can see examples at klbbradio.com. Keyword, photo. Think of the future, preserve the past. On Main Street in Stillwater at Images of the Past.
Take control of the road and every project on your list with Ford F-Series trucks from River Valley Ford in Baldwin. The F-Series is the best-selling truck in America for the last 37 years. Best-in-class towing, payload and fuel economy, four engine sizes, three cab sizes and box lengths, and nine unique option levels, all with an unmatched array of options. River Valley Ford, just off I-94. Shop, compare, and you'll see why so many of your friends and neighbors choose River Valley Ford in Baldwin.
Flashback Twin Cities on KLBB, Club 1220. Roy Finden, my guest today. Again, Roy, former KSTP TV weatherman. You have the AMS symbol, though.
I do. I have the seal of approval.
Now, I've asked you this question before, but for our newer listeners that have, how do you get the AMS symbol without being a meteorologist?
At the time that I did it, you had to pass a written test and send a copy of three of your programs, and the people in charge of that would judge, and if they thought I deserved it, they gave me the seal of approval.
Which was not a lot of non-meteorologists had that at that time.
That's true.
I think even meteorologists had a tough time getting that seal of approval because it used to be promoted as a very tough thing to get, and the stations used to say, we have AMS-approved meteorologists.
Yes, they did.
But you have that. So I want to... We had last week Paul Douglas, another meteorologist on. You told me you had a story about him.
Well, it reminded me of a perfect example of serendipity. Serendipity is seemingly unrelated activities coming together and producing a wonderful good. So Paul talked about when he began in the early 80s over at Channel 11. And at about that time, the management made an interesting programming decision. Channel 11 was the NBC affiliate, so that means they have The Tonight Show, 10:30, forever.
Right.
And Channel 11's programming said, we're going to change that slightly. We're going to delay The Tonight Show until 11:05, and we're going to insert syndicated reruns of MASH in that half hour.
Right.
Okay. Now, today, you do that by pushing a couple of buttons on a keyboard. This was not possible in the 80s. It meant recording with videotape, first on one machine, the first half hour, 10:30 to 11,
right.
And then starting to record the second half hour on a second machine, and as soon as that started, rewinding the tape that's on the first machine to get it back to the beginning in order to start the show. For all of that to happen, the rewinding, getting the next tape ready, that takes several minutes. So to accommodate that, they ran the news until 10:35. So now the MASH starts at 10:35 and finishes at 11:05, so the engineers have had 5 minutes to rewind that. Well, what the result is, those thousands, tens of thousands of people who were watching the news on Channel 4 and Channel 5 and every night switched over to Channel 11 to see The Tonight Show suddenly got a little sample of this new news outfit. And marketers will tell you that the best marketing is sampling. So here were people coming over and getting a chance to see what that was about. Same time, Paul Douglas started doing a piece on the morning show, Hines and Berglund on WLOL. They were the big ratings radio station in town. And so here he had a chance, but no more than a 5 minute piece, but much more time than you have having conversation on TV. On TV, you say one sentence with the anchor and then away to your maps. But here, every morning, here we're talking tens of thousands of people again are getting acquainted with Paul Douglas. And he's a congenial, amiable guy, and he knows his weather, and they talked weather and other things. And so with those two things happening, people are sampling the news program. Paul Douglas is grabbing people's ears on the big morning show, and it's from that moment that their ratings began to just creep forward.
Well, and two things they did. One, they had the Before We Go story on Channel 11, which is always the feel-good story of the night. And Dave Moore did a bedtime story also. But Channel 11, they always had a warm, fuzzy puppy story before the end of the night. They had the whole team there. And then the other thing you might remember, which Paul Douglas did, was they would pre-record a weather commercial, which would air after the first commercial break in MASH, I believe, or Cheers, whatever it would be. And so you get to see Paul Douglas in the backyard, as if he stuck around for another half hour to give you one last weather update before he went home for the night, which, you know, was pre-recorded probably at 9:30 that night. But they sampled, they promoted them very well. And the one thing that, you know, with Paul Douglas going over to WLOL in the mornings, they promoted Channel 11, and probably for a very nominal fee they got for that, they were able to promote their newscast and their backyard weather very effectively into a younger audience,
which was sure enough.
And I'm sure that at the time, the other stations in town, they weren't reaching out on radio. They were sticking just TV. You know, CCO radio used to have the rule that TV didn't exist, and you know, you weren't allowed to discuss the Tonight Show or things on Blue Nixon or on Steve Cannon, at least what they said. So it was very, very smart thinking, and you know that Paul did quite well here.
Yes, yep. Oh, it was a wonderful combination of things, sure enough.
And you had to work with Paul for a while. You went to Channel 11 for a while.
I did. I worked at Channel 11, did some of the morning programs over there, worked with him, and I was just realizing that I had the chance to work with, I'll do them in chronological order, Johnny Morris, Barry Zevan, Dr. Walt Lyons, Dave Dahl,
Dennis Feltkin,
and Paul Douglas. And that's covering a whole lot of television weather history. I'll give you one interesting moment in the history. For the first 20 years of television weather, the weather program always included the five state forecasts, mm-hmm. the adjacent states, North Dakota, South Dakota. In fact, P.J. Hoff used to refer to it as NODAC and SODAC and Mission Wish and Minnenaya. I always enjoyed that, and I can still say it, so I'm pleased, on the verge of smug. Always had the five-day forecast. Barry Zevan came to town. Barry Zevan talked to the set people, and he said, I don't need the five-state forecast. I don't need the maps of the five states. What do you need? Give me Minnesota, a little bit of western Wisconsin, and a little bit of northern Iowa. And so that's what they gave him, and he never gave the five-state forecasts. And, of course, before that happened, people in hallways were murmuring to themselves, ooh, got to have the five. People know that what North Dakota has today will have tomorrow. And it turns out nobody missed them. Barry gave temperatures and always gave the temperature in Bird Island just for fun.
I was going to say Bird Island. You get a Bird Island forecast, too.
Sure.
That's right. Tradition.
So, the other stations, little by little, just the five state forecasts were just discarded, and nobody has a five state forecast anymore.
No, and it's amazing. Sometimes we think people are going to miss things more than they are. I know that there was a couple stations that dropped their farm reports, you know, in the morning, and the thing was, the farmers weren't listening to the Minneapolis St. Paul radio stations to get their farm reports.
And now, good heavens. They're getting it right in the barn on their phones.
I want to play this little clip here. And this is one of my favorite clips. And it's actually a quite well-requested clip. It is our weatherman, Roy Findon, doing some outdoor weather.
Oh, yes.
Snow, 8 to 10-inch snowfalls all the way from Kansas into Missouri into Nebraska. And there are heavy snow warnings now tonight, all the way into Iowa, Illinois, Wisconsin, that's in the southwestern and northeastern parts of Wisconsin, and into southern Minnesota. Commonly, the snowfalls in southern Minnesota have been to 3 to 5 inches. 5 inches reported at both Mankato and at Waseca. There's expecting snow also in the Dakotas. Now, this is a cold front, the leading edge of high pressure that's off over Nebraska.
It's high-tech weather graphics, too. We have a tagboard marker.
And temperatures are not a great deal colder. The highs were in Washington. All right, let's go a little closer to home and see what we have. In Minnesota today, the high was 29, And 13 degrees was the overnight low, and we'll check that snowfall in just a moment. It's snowing at Duluth, where it's 24 right now. Snowing with 29 up at International Falls. Snowing with 29 at Alexandria. 27 degrees with snow at St. Cloud. 27 also at Bird Island. Snowing there. 25 at Mankato with snow. 23 degrees with snow also down at Rochester. It's snowing. Light snow is the report from Rochester. Now, let's get closer to home. Here's the forecast for the metropolitan area. Snow tonight, up to 3 additional inches.
Just a bit here.
So they include this 100% that's happening right now. In the Twin Cities at the moment, it's 27 degrees. The barometer is falling slowly at 29.83. Relative humidity is 89%. Ah, ha, 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 ha. 89%.
And a snowball fight.
The wind
yes,
is to the south.
Some viewers came by. They skied by. And
the official
this
snowfall at the airport is 4.7 inches, but we don't need that. Wait a minute. Hold everything.
So that was not the crew. That was not a planned event. That was just some random snow.
Oh, yes. That was as random as you can be.
This is, today this might seem very common. Everyone does the weather from outdoors. This was not something very common. This was about 1975.
Yes.
Now, whose idea was this to go out in 20-degree weather and do a forecast?
It was the news director. When I finished the program at 6, he said, how would you like to do the program from Minnehaha Park tonight? And I'm a flexible guy. I said, sure. And so they had the artist. And that long ago, there was a full-time artist in the newsroom to do news pictures and so forth. And she made up those maps, which were typically in the studio, there's a plexiglass covered map that's right. Always there. So she made up those maps, and I brought my yardstick, and we did the program from there.
Was this an ongoing thing, or was it a one-time shot?
It was one time. There was another storm a little later, and we did the program from the weather service out at the airport, which wasn't as fascinating as this, with standing out with people throwing snowballs at me. But that was the only time that I did them. And occasionally, I remember when it was snowing, I think I see one program set up out in the front of the KSTP building.
Mm-hmm.
To be in the, but I don't remember that clearly, but I know it happened at least once.
Our guest today is Roy Finden. Roy, of course, was a weatherman, but also an instructor at Brown College.
Yes, that's true.
And you worked 7 days a week for a long time, because you were working full-time at Brown, and then you were doing weather at 5 or 11.
Yes, it wasn't going to be like that, because when I started doing the weather, it was only one night a week, mm-hmm. because the major talent did 6 nights, and so I was teaching the 5 days, and then had one day to do the weather and a day off. And then when it changed and suddenly the major talent got the whole weekend off, then that put me on doing the weekend. And so, yes, I did. I suppose it does add up to 7 days a week.
Did you enjoy that period? I mean, that was a lot of work. And not a lot of life balance, because you're working all day and then you're working, your only two nights you're working at night. That's Saturday, Sunday night. It's a lot of work.
It's a lot of time. The amount of work is debatable.
But when you got into broadcasting, we had this conversation last time you were on with us. You worked in radio.
Yes,
and
sure.
Eventually made your way to TV.
Yes.
Was weather where you wanted to be, or was that where you were placed?
No, weather just happened. I was a part-time booth announcer at KSTP. That's the voice that you heard in station break saying, this is KSTP-TV. And the fellow who was doing the weekend weather, Pete Evanson, left. And I said, in a peak of silliness, I bet I could do that. And somebody in charge said, well, we'll give you a chance. And so I did, and I finished on time. So that was a done deal. That's finished the program on time. No particular interest in weather, except that in radio, of course, you're talking about weather all the time. You're reading school closings and road reports and all of that.
And I've asked the non-traditional meteorologist, so the Bud Kralings, who also was a booth announcer, which got into weather. Barry was did everything in TV before he got into weather. Do you end up learning about weather after a few years? Do you end up, obviously with AMS, you get some applied knowledge.
Sure.
Dave Moore has asked a question before he retired. And Dave Moore was an actor, and he said, "Did you become a journalist because you were around it long enough?" He said, "I think I have at some point." Did you? After a while, granted you were getting, some readout from the National Weather Service, did you, sure. After a while, I know a bit about weather.
No. No, and for the longest time, I would run into someone who would recognize me, and they would always ask, what's the weather going to be like tonight or tomorrow? And I always answered, truthfully, I have no idea, because I'm not at work, so I don't know. And they always seemed disappointed at that. And so later, I adjusted my answer when they asked, and I would say, it's going to be better.
That's a good answer.
Well, that seemed to satisfy them, didn't it?
The occasionally you can I think you can put up some of these old weather forecasts on the website, and they might be just as accurate for the week of November as it was 30 years ago in Minnesota sometimes.
I don't know about that.
I want to play some more audio of Roy doing the weather. This is with our daytime talent, Stan Turner, from the All Request Show. This
sure.
is from 1980.
It's a local bridge.
I'd say that's a high bridge in St. Paul.
Exactly right. Oh, that is, yes.
This was not rigged, ladies and gentlemen.
No. This was in 1904, and it's not when it was being built. It was just after being hit by a tornado, a storm system that tornadoes touched down in both downtown Minneapolis and St. Paul. And I bring that up because I want to remind you that tomorrow night, right after Eyewitness News, the KSTP Weather Service's program, The Killer Tornadoes, A New Defense, will be on. And I want you to watch. The word ubiquitous comes to mind when we talk about the 80s on today's map. Ubiquitous meaning all over the place. That sounds strange, like a quiz bowl question too, doesn't it? Well, look at this. 80s, and 70s were even wider ranging. It's got to be a great, huge system that is just covering the country to bring that kind of warmth to such great chunks of it at the same time. Down in Gila Bend, it was 110 degrees today, and that's the highest it's ever been in Arizona in April. Period. Boy, there's a warm system. In the Twin Cities, 80 degrees was the high, and the low last night was an even 50, and it has been a dry day. And at the moment, what are we doing? Well, we're down to 60.
So I see the Chiron graphic versus the handwritten marker forecast. Which...
That was a pretty big change, yes.
you had to get the good handwriting down. I think that's another lost art right now, that handwriting, and also doing the permanent marker on the weather map.
Yes, I had an amusing experience with that. They use quite a volatile is not the wrong word, but a strong mixture to clean off the board.
Mm-hmm.
And the staff in the studio did that between programs. And one night, the anchor got a little bit of it on his hair. No, he got some ink on his hand from his pen. And so I got some of the solution and said, well, here, this will take it off. And it hadn't occurred to me that it was as strong as it is. And he was uncomfortable there for a bit.
Well, that goes with the territory, the danger of anchor man, not a newsreader, an anchor man. Roy, one of your hobbies is you go to all the county fairs, correct?
I go to as many as I can, yes, always enjoy it.
How many did you go to this year?
Well, two.
Okay, and you go to the state fair, though, too, correct?
Oh, of course, oh, yes.
And I want, Vincent, because I was talking to you about before the show, I was listening to a competitor one morning when I was on the road, and Roy pops up on the radio, Roy with former students that are on KQRS. You had Tom Bernard as a student, you had Terry Train as a student, and there was Roy on the microphone.
Yes, I was, and there they were, so I went over just to say hello, and they said, come over here and get at the microphone, and we'll chat a little. So that was good. That was nice.
That was your first time on 92.5, correct?
I'm sure.
Now, and is there anyone else outside of the Minnesota people? We know a lot of people. John Hines is people that you've taught here. Is there anyone else that we may not know about that you've taught that are national figures or national journalists?
How about the current defense secretary? He was a great. He is a grad.
That's right.
Was the senator from
Chuck Hagel?
Yes, was a senator from Nebraska for two terms.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's the Secretary of Defense. I remember him quite clearly because he was from Nebraska.
In fact, a lot of people don't realize. I remember seeing that, and I don't think I even knew that until he became Defense Secretary of the Brown Institute. Okay, so he actually had aspirations to be a communicator before he
yes,
became
oh gosh, yes. And,
a politician.
And was good at it, yeah.
That is, it's an interesting mix, and that may be our first. I mean, I know when Rod Grams was elected senator, I went to your university there or your college, and I saw a big picture of him, our biggest graduate. This might even be just as big, if not bigger, than a Minnesota U.S. senator.
Any of the graduates who are at work are big in my mind.
True, true. Also, so you were talking a little bit about your Brown college days, and you retired in what year?
2001.
That seems like not that long ago, though.
Well, that's the way it seems to me.
And so you have not done, you still do Almanac occasionally, correct?
I've done a couple of monologues on Almanac, always enjoyed that, on Channel 2.
What, and it's usually some poetry, correct, or some...
No, there's nothing, just something that has piqued my interest that I'm able to construct a minute and a half that's sort of entertaining.
Mm-hmm. Kathy and Eric Escala and the group there?
Yes, always a pleasant, and the man who directs that, Jeffrey Y, is a former student as well.
Do you get, right now it's got to be a tough time, I think, for a lot of, no matter where you are in business, whether you're just starting it or you have been in it a long time, I know that people that are generous to give me tapes at tcmedianow.com, a lot of times, you know, they're looking for work and they're ending up in careers later in life they didn't think they would be in. There was a period of time, you know, in the 70s and 80s where there seemed to be, you know, TV and cable, everything was growing. A lot of places where people could
exactly.
be communicators. It's a little bit tougher right now.
Yes, there's more of it that is either networked or recorded. So a station does not have to have a staff of live people throughout the day to fill several day parts, as we say. And so that diminishes the number of opportunities and diminishes the number of minor leagues, because a lot of the smaller stations where a person would get started in years back have maybe one time of the day that is live, typically in the morning, and the rest of it will be on a network.
Well, also, it's a satellite, right?
Yes.
You know, luckily, we're one of the few stations in town here that still do live and local ownership and programming all day, during the day and on weekends. So we're fortunate for that. We have a couple of Brown, Tom Shue, our daytime. Did you know, Kyle, did you go to Brown? We have another Brown. Are you graduated or are you in progress?
In progress still.
Yeah, so we have some aspiring broadcasters here. And I think that, you know, a lot of content's giving away for free now, too. A lot of people become broadcasters in their basements now. They're not going to work. They're working for themselves and going, we'll call it the backdoor route.
Yes, people can do that. Yep, it's a changing world.
And
I was thinking of changing, and I was remembering that years and years ago, television was different enough that there was a code of good practice for commercials. And on a network evening primetime program, the limit on non-program time was 9.5 minutes. There could be 9.5 minutes of commercials in an hour program. And I logged one network program on Sunday, not last Sunday, and there were 16 minutes of non-commercial time, over a quarter of the program. That's a big change.
It's TV cannot be losing money, but they're not making the kind of profit margins they once did. One of the things I always like about Brown was they placed everyone, and I'm not sure if that's still their, still part of their...
Always the goal.
Their goal, but, you know, friends of mine that graduated from Brown, they end up in, you know, Iowa and other places. They end up coming to a bigger market, but that was one nice thing about Brown is they always worked on helping their students get placed.
And then you mentioned the county fairs. A couple of years ago, I went down to the Cass County Fair in Iowa. Calls itself the biggest county fair in the country. And the graduate was working down there. She was doing mornings, and that was her first job.
Mm-hmm.
And she must have been there when I visited with her nearly 20 years. And just a marvelous career and a marvelous life. I like that picture as well as the Chuck Hagel story. There's nothing better than, well, I shouldn't say that. You go to the small community, and the person that's on the radio in the small community is an instant identity, and an instant a way to become acquainted with the community. If you're helping out with the news, where you're going around and you're collecting the news and you're talking to people and so forth, and if you were going down, I don't know, to manage a holiday station, it would take you a lot longer to get integrated into the community. So the radio is there. So. Wonderful thing.
It's a very personal medium, and you know, you have the freedom to be able to have a much, you know, you did TV news for a long time, and you've done radio. You know, radio, you're able to have, you know, go off script, you know, a lot easier than TV. And,
oh gosh, yes.
And you can also have more of an opinion on radio than you can on TV. One thing I used to a couple of our, you know, morning shows in town that used to be very critical of, you know, what was on TV last night. And I thought, you know, those guys on TV could go ahead and start ripping on the radio the next day. You know, think of how the tables would be balanced, but that's just not the case. But you talk about these small market radio stations, and I know when, you know, we used to have some cabins in Wisconsin. The small market radio, and usually the owner would do the good shifts. You know, the old guy that owned the station would do the good shifts, and they'd do the auction, or they would do the the raffles. You know, and you really would, you'd know, well, that's Charlie. He does, you know, 3 to 6. You know the names. And people, I think, that, you know, find these communities, they find them very welcoming. They find them very warm. And sometimes people, I think, on their way to New York, they find a spot they like. Sometimes Minneapolis. People think Minneapolis is a small place compared to the coasts. And had a lot of people here on Flashback Twin Cities that came here thinking it'd be for a year or two before Chicago. And, well, they stuck around for a while.
Mm-hmm.
I have one of my favorite programs, which I miss to this day. I'm going to play some audio of this, and let's see if any of our listeners remember what this show is.
Do you want to give some of your time to help others? Yes, and this beyond. Telephone Counseling and Outreach Service, Social Services. Do you want to give some of your time to help others?
Sorry, let me just get this clip a little bit. Okay, go ahead.
Toss-up question in this morning's high school bowl. What do we call the colored portion of a vertebrate's eye?
Saucer, a dinah.
The iris.
That's right, for 10 points.
Join outstanding scholars from Twin Cities and suburban area schools as they match wits on this week's High School Bowl, sponsored in part by Ashland Oil. And now, your quizmaster, Roy Finden.
Good morning and welcome to the High School Bowl. Nothing like a little stimulation of the mind on an April-ish morning. This morning we're at quarterfinal time. We've got communities that are adjacent to each other competing. Southwest, the southwest section of Minneapolis, and Edina East, a suburb of Minneapolis. They're right across the line, and they'll be answering the questions next on today's High School Bowl.
I miss High School Bowl.
I do too. Enjoyed it always. There I am getting along in the company of young people again and grabbing all of their energy. And I think there's still a version of it that is happening for a while. When it left KSTP, they were doing it over at the TV station that's in KBEM at North High School.
Okay.
They did that for a couple of seasons. Some of the coaches of the various schools got together in. And I think they're still doing a version of that somehow, but I'm not just sure how or where it airs.
I get, you know, the two shows I get a lot of inquiries are, well, three of them. Good Company, because everyone's child was on Good Company at one point modeling some clothes. Bowling for Dollars, because everyone was on Bowling for Dollars at one point. And they go, I think it was June or July of 78. Can you find that video? And then High School Bowl, I get that too. You know, unfortunately, I have one videotape of High School Bowl. Maybe someone recorded it and wants to, you know, donate those to tcmedianow.com. But I get a lot of inquiries like, do you have my High School Bowl tape? But I think I was on it in 1979. Ask Roy Finden, he'll remember me.
Oh, sure. Yes. Yes, none of those things were recorded in those earlier times. It was near the, when I was, did the last couple of times, I finally had a VCR at home and recorded some things. But nothing at the station. It was recorded for air, but then the tapes were reused. Tapes were expensive, those videotapes.
Well, think of, there's a lot of, you know, part of the, you know, what I try to do at tcmedianow.com is, you know, find the very few remaining of these videotapes before they end up in a dumpster somewhere, or, you know, these films and things. That film had not been shown in a long time, and it was actually very good quality, that film we had played earlier in the hour here. But, you know, things like High School Bowl, someone may have taped that after they taped cartoons or something that they didn't know that was on the back of it. And that's where I find a lot of these newscasts.
People
didn't know how to shut off that big machine they brought home from Dayton's and those $3,000. I'm sure your first VCR was probably like a tank, probably.
Yes, and it was that heavy, too. Yes, it's true.
But at least it lasted a long time. You knew when you picked it up that there was some very fine machinery in that.
Yeah, it was almost all made of metal, I think. And, the latest one that I have, and I still have a VCR, of course, is mostly plastic, I think. But it works, and I'm pleased.
Well, I still save mine out, too, obviously. High School Bowl, now, was that an idea that someone at the station said, you know what, we're going to do the show, Ashland Oil is going to promote, going to sponsor it. Roy, do you want to do another half hour of, what I call work, but another half hour of emceeing?
No. the person that had been doing it left, and so there was another place where I raised my hand and said, I could probably do that. And I did. And we would typically record two of them on a Saturday afternoon. So that made Saturday a long day there during mm-hmm. the season. So two high school bowl programs to record and then doing the 6 and 10 o'clock weather. Nice full day.
Did you change ties or suits in between?
No.
I asked Tom Ryder once. I said, when you did Bowling for Dollars, did you ever make sure that the news you did that night matched the tie you wore during Bowling for Dollars? And they said, no. See, only I find these details that are fascinating. Kyle, let's take one quick break. We'll take a break here on Flashback Twin Cities. Our guest today is Roy Finden on KLVB.
At Hymie's Haberdashery, men never sacrifice fashion for weather. So no matter how cold it gets, you can still spot a Hymie's man by his impeccable taste and the confidence that only comes from a hot leather shave. Hymie's Haberdashery helps men look and feel their best with high-quality clothing cut and styled just for them. Create a look that's uniquely yours with tailored suits, overcoats, hats, and accessories that make winter blush. And at prices that won't melt your wallet. Hymie's Haberdashery, 400 St. Peter Street in downtown St. Paul. Online at Hymies.com.
Are you ready for the hunt?
Orange Friday is at Mills Fleet Farm, November 21st. Doors open at 6 a.m. Get your last-minute gear and supplies, ammo, scent killer, hand warmers, snacks, and more before heading out to camp.
And don't forget your license.
Hurry in. First 500 get a free collector's cap. First 700 get scratch-off tickets for a chance to win gift cards and register to win prizes. Orange Friday, November 21st, Mills Fleet Farm. Your hunt starts now.
Club 1220 KLBB presents the Community Calendar. Donations are being accepted today for the Stillwater Public Library's Fall Book Sale. Collections will be made until 3:30 at the library parking ramp. Bethesda Lutheran Church in Inver Grove Heights is hosting a holiday craft boutique. It runs until 3 this afternoon. Hudson High School presents the musical Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat tonight at 7 at the high school auditorium. West Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Osceola, Wisconsin is having their annual Ludafisk dinner today until supplies run out. E.P. Rock Elementary School in Hudson is having their Fall Fest until 2. Holton Elementary School's Bazaar runs today until 3. And the New Richmond Rotary is accepting orders for its annual Rose Day fundraisers. The last day to order is November 10th. If you have an item for KLBB's community calendar, you can send it to me, Jeff, at klbbradio.com.
Flashback Twin Cities, Tom Osmond with our guest today, Roy Finden. Roy, we've been doing some audio from weather, from Quiz Bowl, mm-hmm. and this one we did not have up last time you were here. I want to play a little clip of this one, then you can tell the story behind this show.
Okay.
Let's get some little audio here, Kyle.
Well, have you ever heard the Pennsylvania polka played just that way? And say, did you notice the work of the horn players over here, the four of them? We call them our ferocious foursome. Call them that because when they all play together, they do sound ferocious. And certainly hope that they'll sound ferocious sometime tonight. What to start a good shottish with? A good shottish. What comes after a good polka? A good shottish. Nothing better. And Swanee is even going to sing a couple of bars of this one. It's called Can You Whistle Johanna?
Comment from online, pure and wonderful Roy Finden, not only a great announcer, but also had a great also a great educator and wonderful person. It's still fun to catch him on TCP TV every now and then.
Oh, isn't that nice?
Well, comment from the viewer.
Well, good. Yes, this was a little, you'd call it a polka pilot program. I've always liked polka, still do. And I thought it was wrong that there was not a polka program on television. And I mentioned the idea to a couple of the program managers, and they said, no, I don't think so. And then somehow, I don't remember whether I asked. No, I guess I did, yeah. Don, the band director, and I went and had a meeting with the elder Stanley Hubbard and gave him the program pitch, and he said, well, we should do a pilot.
Did a pilot?
And so we did a pilot. So They kind of built that set. They put in some nice lights. Had some people come down to dance. The band played, and it was very good. Not good enough to ever get on the air, but I like it.
Well, now it's viewed over the world now. Now people in Japan can watch Don Swanee and his orchestra.
Woof, I hadn't thought of it in that way. That, I like it.
It is a worldwide sensation. If you miss Roy's voice, you can see him at the Capitol giving tours, or you can go to tcmedianow.com, and we have lots of video of Roy doing the weather, both at Channel 11 and Channel 5. I wish we had some more recordings from you at Channel 5. I do find some every once in a while, and I'm saving them, you know, for
good.
From special occasions.
Okay.
No, I do have a few of them. Also doing, you know, High School Quiz Bowl. Were you at Channel 5 during the Heidi incident? Were you there that day?
I was not.
It's a good story, though.
I love the Heidi story. Do you want to tell us?
Could we tell the Heidi story? I'd love you to tell the Heidi story.
This is an example of how television is set in its ways. And so here it was. It's a Sunday afternoon. It's a football afternoon. And it's the fall. And there's a big spectacular that's been promoted all over the country. Of a television production of the children's favorite, Heidi.
Mm-hmm.
It was the centerpiece of the whole marketing campaign for the Singer Sewing People. And it was going to be on at 6 o'clock on Sunday night. I mean, newspaper ads, promotions everywhere, signs in the Singer. It was big. And there was a football game going on in the late afternoon. Might have been the Chiefs and the Bills. I'm not sure about the teams. And it was going long. And it was approaching 6 o'clock, and the game wasn't over. There were minutes left, and the clock is ticking up to 6 o'clock when Heidi, the world is waiting for Heidi, and the game isn't over, and the clock is ticking. And they were down to, I think, about 3 minutes of the game, and I can picture the poor sod who was on duty in that control room on a Sunday afternoon to make the decision. Click, click, click. Heidi is waiting here. The score of the game was more than a touchdown apart.
Mm-hmm.
So the person on duty, when it got to 6 o'clock, pulled the plug away from the game, roll Heidi, restarted Heidi. And as luck would have it, the team which had been behind scored twice in those several minutes. And, I mean, the world went mad. The football people went mad. So you can imagine on Monday morning, and this I'm imagining this on Monday morning, the executives are all sitting around. Oh, what can we, how can we, and one person held his hand up and said, well, couldn't we just start the program late? And all of them said, no. And then one said, well, maybe. And from that time on, it is common mm-hmm. on a Sunday for your Sunday evening TV schedule to be 10 minutes, 15 minutes off. But it didn't occur. It wasn't even an option at that time.
I think that if you think right now, the power of the NFL and the power of the NFL dollar right now, you wouldn't even imagine putting on scripted programming preemptive to a football game. In fact, I think it's rare that a football game does not go over that, that yes. 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock yes. threshold. And this is an era of football when you didn't have a lot of, the advertising, I'm sure, was much less. You were pretty much watching football. You weren't watching a lot of the extras and the frosting which comes with the game
yes.
today. That is one of my favorite stories of TV business and...
Mm-hmm. And how it changed.
And how it changed.
How it just changed.
Yeah, I don't think the NFL would allow, let's see, the... who was in the Sound of Music this last year? Was it Carrie Underwood that was in the Sound of Music? That was kind of the big...
big special, yeah.
That was a big special. I don't think they would have put that on over a football game, I don't think, this year.
Well, of course, when you think of one big sponsor that was sponsoring the whole thing, that's a huge investment. So I can see the dilemma. Now, another change from that time, I was just thinking about this week. This year's, was it 1972, something like that? A lot of the advertising on television everywhere was cigarette advertising.
Mm-hmm.
And people don't think about that now, don't realize that there is no cigarette advertising on television. I don't know if anyone even wonders why, but it's a fascinating little story. Do you have time for
Please.
A fascinating little story?
There was something that the FCC established in about 1948 called the Fairness Doctrine, mm-hmm. which required stations to air all sides of controversial public issues. And they did that. And then one year, one person who was very opposed to cigarettes went to the FCC and said, to smoke or not to smoke is a controversial public issue. So if a station airs television commercials for cigarettes, they are obligated to air the other side, anti-smoking commercials. Well, the networks and the cigarette people just sat back giggling. They said, that's never going to go anywhere. That's the silliest thing I ever heard. We never thought of advertising being involved with the fairness. And then the FCC said, you're right. And so for months, in prime time, we had anti-smoking commercials on television, anti-smoking announcements. Mm-hmm. And it was the first year in recent history that the per capita consumption of cigarettes declined. The next year, the Congress passed a law, not a rule, not a recommendation, a law prohibiting cigarette advertising on television. Now that sounds on the one hand like, gosh, too bad for them. Well, wait a minute. That means the anti-smoking announcements are gone from prime time as well. So who benefited from that? Whose wily strategy was that?
You know what? I have tons of cigarette commercials.
Oh,
not
sure.
Not cigarette, yes. But because they every I mean, Lucy to name, you know,
oh, sure.
They advertise cigarettes right on TV. To comment, play one. This is now just to my full disclosure. This is not a commercial we are paying for. This is a
sure.
commercial for entertainment purposes only.
Sure.
So you can guess who this is.
Work hard, don't they, buddy?
Yeah, I hate to see them work so hard.
Yeah, me too.
Let's go around back.
Well, we can't see them.
Gee, we gotta do something, Fred.
Okay. How's about taking that?
I got a better idea. Let's take a Winston break.
That's it. Winston is the one filter cigarette that delivers flavor 20 times a pack. Winston's got that filter blend.
Yeah, Fred. Filter blend makes the big taste difference, and only Winston has it, up front where it counts. Here, ahead of the pure white filter, Winston packs rich tobacco, specially selected.
Nothing more charming than Fred and Barney discussing cigarettes. It's,
boy.
You know, they were marketing toward children, come on. considering the Stone Age, the cigarettes, they sure had, they had found a way to make those with, you know,
with
pure
filters.
And
the filter and all, yes.
No, in fact, I tons of cigarette commercials, and, you know, everyone is quite carefree, and you don't see cigarette billboards anymore either. You know, I'm not sure if that is a by law or just by being out of style, but it used to be like, you know, Newport cigarettes were on every freeway.
Oh,
you know,
yes, you're right. You're right, yes.
Not too much anymore. The world, the changes we've endured. And by the way, if you want to check out cigarette commercials, you can go to YouTube. I don't have a lot of those on tcmedianow.com. But again, check out Roy Finden, our guest today. He is on tcmedianow.com. When is your next TPT appearance on Almanac? Do you have one scheduled?
Or I don't.
It's going to be, we assume, soon. Some soon okay. We'll see you there. This has been Flashback Twin Cities. I'm Tom Ozen. We'll be back next Saturday here on KLBB Club 1220.